there is a great need in Montana, the West in general. Statistics say that in Montana that there's only one gospel preaching church for every 9 towns. I want you to think about that for a second. Now, there's people that think the United States has been evangelized. I think if you go out the doors, you can figure out that it hasn't been. And there's just a great need. There's a great need everywhere. And God had put in my heart a long time ago to go start church in my home state. And I'm from there, and so there's no culture shock. And I don't have to learn a new language. I know the language fairly well. And so no problems there. But there's people that are moving to Montana to try and escape society. You know, they're tired of the big city. I can't blame them. I don't like it either. And but some of them are trying to escape from God. But they can't escape him. We're going to find them. We're going to tell them all about them and how that they can't have peace and joy and true happiness in this life outside of Jesus Christ and him alone. And so I appreciate if you pray for us. I think we brought more prayer cards. So if you didn't get one the first time, we have some more. And so pick one of those up and please pray for us. Also, we didn't have this last time, but we do have it this time. We have a sheet out there if you get email and you would like automatic updates of where we're at on deputation and when we get out to Montana, all those types of things, just put your email address down and we'll automatically update you. So just sign your email address to there and that'd be great. Also, there's a needs list back there for things that sometimes people don't think about. And we did this just so maybe like little kids maybe would have a part in church planning somewhat. Donating a dollar here, a dollar there, that type of thing for things that people don't think about, such as chairs. You know, we might need those for people to sit on. Toilet paper is a necessity. And just little things that somebody might not think about. And just look that over and just pray over those things because we're going to need all those things that are on there. Many things have already come in, honestly. Many things have already come in, or at least the money's come in for it. And that's been a blessing. And so just get back there and look at our display table. There's also a new book back there. It's our vision book, and I'm going to talk a little bit about it right now. Just something that God may have opened the door for. It's not completely open yet, but I have a big God, and we're excited about it. And so I want to show you just a little bit about what's going on, hopefully, for the future site of Blessed Hope Baptist Church in Frenchtown, Montana. Well, let me turn this thing on. I'm going to get shocked. Power. Well, there we go. Can you hear me all right now? Wonderful. Which button do I press? I got to ask the brain. Okay, left one. All right, left. Okay, got it. All right. Project Vision. Right here is a building that's for sale. Would be ideal for us to be able to start a church in. The location is just amazing. It's right off the intersection of the interstate, and there's only one interstate in Montana. So right off the interstate, and the main highway that everybody knows about, Highway 93 North, is right at the intersection there. It's been called the Y, so if I just told people, if they asked where the church was at, and I said it's at the Y, they go, oh, okay, and they know right where that's at. I wouldn't have to give much explanation, and it's right off the highway. The building there, you can see in the background the hill there, all that property goes with it right now. And so there's just a lot to it. This will work. Here's a building, a view from the top of the hill, and you can see the highway running right next to it. I mean, it's just right there. And it's an incredible opportunity for us. And right now the guy, he's trying to sell this thing with all the property, and he can't get rid of it. He bought it for his son and his daughter-in-law, as a business opportunity. I love technology. My computer, it looks like it's working, but it must be thinking hard or something. Anyway, he's trying to sell it because his son and daughter-in-law are getting a divorce. He bought it for them. Upstairs, you can see kind of the top part of this building here. You can see little windows. There's a two-bedroom apartment upstairs that my wife and I could live in. And there we go. This is the west side of the building. Let me get going through here. Okay. Right here, what we'd have is the east side of the building, and there's a big garage door on two sides. The one garage door, this garage door here, I'd like to take it, change it into a double glass door for an entrance. This I'll probably leave, but cover it up, and then on the inside I'll do something else. That's where I'd like to have our baptistry. And over on this side, I'd like to enclose this. This is a carport. I'd like to enclose it and make a hallway because there's a door. You can't see it real well. There's a door here, and then there's a door on the other side, and it would link the building. The only way you can get through the building right now from one side to the other is to go upstairs through the apartment and down the other side. I really don't want that. And okay, here's the floor plan right now. The current floor plan right here. This is what the upstairs is all about. It's a lot of space. It's incredible. And then the downstairs area, this is just all open right now. There's a half bath and a shop and garage. There's 1,200 square feet in here. And so this is what I want to change it to. Here's the auditorium. This is where the baptistry would be. Main entrance here, hallway. Make this into a Sunday school and junior church class. Maybe keep this into office. Maybe. I'd probably make it into a classroom. Sunday school class here, nursery here. Put an extra bathroom in here and a bathroom in here. And that would be our church building to start with. This is a picture of the upstairs apartment. You can see the kitchen's already in. There's no flooring laid in this entire building except for, I think, the kitchen and the bathroom. And I think I can take care of that, though. I think I know somebody that can lay flooring. This is the north end of the building right here. And like I said, I'd probably keep that in for right now. I don't know why, but I just think that it'd be cool to have a garage door in the back of my auditorium. This is what the inside of the future auditorium would look like here. Would be the Baptist wall. I'd build a platform out here. And there's some posts in the way, but I don't think I can take those out, otherwise the roof will fall down. And but there's plenty of seating. And 22 acres of land, so I wouldn't be landlocked. Plenty of expansion here. And right now what the guy's trying to do is, this is just the last view. That's a view from the hill. This is here, just right outside the church. You can see there's housing, and you don't see well because there's all these hills, but over each of these hills there's all kinds of subdivisions where they're building. I mean, people are going crazy. And in the background back here over this hill is Missoula. You know, 60, I said 64, but it's really 67,000 people. And going out this way is Frenchtown. It splits the difference between Missoula and Frenchtown 5 miles on each side, so I could reach into both. And Missoula is growing towards this direction, so sweet, can you come back and shut this off? Otherwise, I'll mess it up. I just know it. That's what we're praying about right now. Now, what he's asking is he's asking Christ right now is $380,000. You're like, wow, that's a lot of money. Well, he's cut the price in half once. And we were looking on the internet because I was thinking, man, that's a lot of money. And we were looking on the internet, maybe somewhere else, you know, someplace else. Well, a commercial piece of property in Frenchtown for 1 acre right now, the only one we found available was $250,000 for 1 acre. So this is a screaming deal, you know. And I like to let you know that I'm not going to force my will on it. I figure I might as well dream big for God. And I'm not going to force my will. There's no way that I would bury a church in debt, a new church in debt, and get myself in trouble. I'm not going to do that. If God wants us to have it, he's going to open the door to get it for us. And so, but I would like you to pray about it for us, because I think we've all understood this last year that prayer really does work, doesn't it? And our God really is as big as he says he is. And so please pray for us. This is, a church is not about a building, but it sure would help to have one, you know? And, you know, we can start in a house, and I'm willing to do that, and start in somebody's garage. Some of the fight we would have with some of that is this, is that there's cult-like activity in Montana. And, you know, militia groups and things like that, they get started, and that's the way they start, is kind of in garages and somebody's house, and they do all kinds of weird stuff. So people are kind of standoffish to that type of thing. And so I like to have something that looks somewhat like a church building, and for them to go into. Also, we fight this, is the materialistic ideas of today's society. Everybody wants to walk into a church that's ready to go, you know? And the pioneering spirit hasn't died out, but it's pretty weak. And we need some people with a pioneering spirit. But pray for us. We'd appreciate it. What I want to do this morning, as far as teaching something, I know I don't have long, I only have 10 minutes, and but I want to help just a little bit about why church planning is so important. Why? I mean, what's the big deal about church planning anyway, you know? Why do this thing? And so I'm going to give you some groundwork. This is going to be more kind of a teaching thing, if you don't mind. I'll save the preaching for the next part, you know, but I want to teach you something. Hopefully you can learn something this morning. But if you take your Bibles and open to Matthew chapter number 16, Matthew chapter number 16. Now, you'd think that if I was talking about missions, I'd go to the book of Acts, and I will be there later. But I want to start with something to lay some groundwork. Matthew chapter number 16, if you would. Let me get there. Matthew 16. And there's an incredible part of the passage in here, and in Matthew 16, and we'll go ahead and start in verse number 13. The Bible says, when Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And I want you to see, first of all, the start of the local church. Jesus Christ started the local church. This isn't some man's idea that somebody just made up. God ordained this thing. He created this thing called the local church. And he started with himself and his disciples. And I believe he was empowered at Pentecost. And I support that with the book of Acts, actually, because the book of Acts, in Acts chapter number 2, the Bible says that at the day of Pentecost, 3,000 were saved, right? And were added to the church. Well, how did it get out of there without a church being first there, right? So the church was started with Christ. He founded it. It was his thing. You could say he was the first pastor of the church. And the word church is mentioned in the New Testament 117 times. And of these 117 times, at least 95 of them are talking about a local, visible body, what we call the church, okay? And so we find out what the emphasis is that God has made, and that's on the local, visible, New Testament, Bible-believing church. And it's what Christ gave himself to establish. Now, let me give you a description of the church. Now, by definition, there's all kinds of definitions that are out there. If you take the word church and you look at its root word, maybe in the Greek or something, ekklesia, it just simply means a called out assembly. When we're talking about the local church, a definition that is often used is a body of believers that have been scripturally baptized and have voluntarily joined themselves together to carry out the Great Commission. One person said it like this. They said it's an organized body of believers meeting in a specific place for the purpose of winning souls, training the saved, observing the ordinances, and generally carrying out whatsoever things he has commanded. And so, in description, the church is a body of believers, right? And we need to understand something about this body, though. We need to understand that this church body is not an organization. Did you know that? The church is not an organization, it's an organism. It's not a company. It's not a business. It's a living, breathing organism. It's described as his body. And that'll help you if you can understand that the church is a body, is an organism. It'll change the view of your church and how you fit into it. Now you say, well, I don't believe that. Well, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:27, it says, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And if you go into Ephesians, it backs that up. And Ephesians chapter number 5, especially towards the end, it's talking about wives and husbands. And it's trying to give an example there about the husband-wife relationship. And he compares it to Christ and his relationship with the church. And now listen to this. Ephesians 5:29 says, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, the church, of his flesh, of his bones. For this cause shall man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. And then he says this, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. You know, some think that the church is not alive, but I think the scriptures are pretty clear. It's a living organism. It's a body. Now, some bodies could be, you know, dead, and I've been in some churches that might fit that description. But for the most part, a church is alive. And in order for the body to accomplish any task, it must be a living organism. It must be alive. Now, if the church is a living organism, what must be done to make sure that that body, that church, is operating at maximum performance? Let me give you just a few things and I'll be done. Let's look at the design of the church. The design, the church was designed to get the will of God accomplished. There are some important ingredients I believe that are a part of making sure our church is maximizing its performance. And the first thing that it must have is it must be nourished. You know, everybody's got to have food, right? Everybody has to have food. Now, I'm looking out in the crowd and I'm thinking that there's some of you that are very well nourished, obviously. You've fed yourself well. And then I'm looking at some of you, like Matt Harrison, that I think you need to eat a little bit more. And just joking, Matt. Sort of. Just joking. But the body has to be nourished. Now, how does a church body get nourished? Well, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse number 11, it says this, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So we all come into the unity of faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ, that henceforth we be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness, whereby they live, lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. See, Jesus Christ ordained pastors and teachers to put in the church to nourish the church. It's fed spiritually through the preaching and teaching of God's word. That's how the body is nourished. And you say, well, what's the big deal about that? Well, you would understand if you're part of the body, then you need
to make it an important part of your life to be in church, to be faithful to the church services, so that the pastor of this church who has been led to be put here this time, for this time, so such a time as this, who sits in his office and studies the Scriptures and prays and labors in the Scriptures and labors for you so he can feed you spiritually, it's important for you to be here. Young people, listen to me. It's not a good thing for you to be skipping on church. Okay? It's important for you to be here. If you have been saved and you're baptized and you are part of this local body, you're a part of this organism, and you need to be fed spiritually. And that goes for every church member. You need to be fed spiritually. Because if you don't get in here and get your food, then the body suffers as a whole. Can you imagine this? What if every part of your body got fed except for maybe your eyeballs? I'm serious. What if your eyeballs didn't get proper nourishment? Everything else got nourishment, but your eyeballs didn't. How long do you think it would be till you couldn't see? What if your feet didn't get proper nourishment? It wouldn't be long until you couldn't walk right, or walk at all, maybe. What about just a finger? Have you ever tried to do some stuff without, you know, maybe one of your fingers? You don't know that it's missing until you can't use it very well. You know, when I'm laying carpet and things, sometimes Jeff comes over and he just slices my finger. And just for the fun of it. And all day long, that finger hurts. And I go to try and pick stuff up, and I can't seem to pick stuff up quite as well. See, the Bible describes the church as a body, and members in particular. Each one of you is a member of the body. You know, like a finger, an eyeball, a toe, a heart. And if you're not here to get nourished, then that part of the body isn't working quite as well, and the whole body suffers. It's important that you're here. And there's all kinds of other things. You know, you need to read your Bibles, pray. We know some of those things. Let me give you these just things real quick, and then I'm going to be done because we got to get out of here. Number two, it's got to maintain its purity. The body's got to maintain its purity. Now, a lot of us, we like to joke about all the things we eat and drink and whatnot, but, you know, my wife, and she's trying to help me with this, I love the taste of Pepsi. Man. Nice cold Pepsi on ice. Hey, man. But if I drink Pepsi every day, it starts to affect my body. Not in a good way. Because all that sugar and stuff that I pour in there just poisons my body. So I'm trying to do better and drink more water. Can I say that sin in a church is like poison to the body of this church? Be careful. It's not a joke. It's not a joke when the pastor gets up and talks about sin and tries to get you to live your lives right. It affects this whole body. It causes it to be sick. When sin starts spreading rampant through a church, it could quickly destroy an entire body of believers. Keep yourself pure. Number three, it must work. The body must work. We're here. God put us on this earth as individuals to work, you know, do something. And so is for the church. We must work. We are sent here to work the works of Him that sent us. That's what the church is all about. We're supposed to go forward and work for Him. And get involved. There's no place for anybody to sit down and just say, I'm done. There's no part of the body that just stops working. We need everybody to get the job done. Number three, it must grow. You know, not only spiritually, but physically. The church must grow. It must grow. Acts chapter number 2, things were added to the church. It was growing physically. Okay? And so it's our job to help this church grow. Every one of us must grow in Christ. And last is this, it must reproduce. The Bible gave a clear command to creation at the very beginning in Genesis that each one reproduce after his own kind. Do you think it would be any different for his body, the church? That's why church planting is important. Because the church must reproduce itself. It must. That's why this thing over in Bloomfield is so important. And some of you need to learn to get on with a program that God has established. You say, well, that's not for me over there. Oh, yes, it is. It's this body. This church is going to start that church. Not just part of it. All of it. And every one of you can get involved. It's your job to get involved. You're part of the body. It must be reproduced. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the time you've given us. God, I pray that this was a blessing. And Lord, help us to do what you have us to do. The church as a body. Be a living organism. Reproduce ourselves. Work hard. Keep ourselves pure, Lord. Help us to be nourished. Be faithful to the church services. In Jesus' name, amen.